Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I am your host, Alex Newman, here for the New American Magazine. We have a very special guest for you today. This is a lady who I've been following for quite some time. She really does some incredible investigative reporting, investigative journalism. She's the founder of CorysDigs.com. That's her website. She's an investigative journalist, and she really does a phenomenal job of digging for the truth, as she puts it, in a world where nothing is as it seems, and then connecting the dots and presenting her findings to you. So Cory focuses on what she describes as larger webs and nests, areas that are seldom covered by the mainstream media, or what I would call the fake, fringe, lying, dishonest propaganda machine masquerading as media. She exposes these operations, oftentimes with timelines and maps and documentation. That's one of the things she's really good at, is always providing the documentation, the sources, the links to back it all up. Cory, thank you for coming on the program. And one of the areas that you have been looking at recently, and it's an area that I am just fascinated with right now, I think it's going to be one of the top stories maybe of the decade, is the food supply transformation that is coming our way like a freight train. It looks to me very much like they're engineering food shortages, that they are waging a war on farmers. And you have explored the purpose for this. Tell us, why do you think they are doing this?
Well, for a lot of reasons. They want to have full control over our spending, over our access to everything. I think we got a good taste of that over the last couple of years during the COVID lockdowns and that situation. And we have a giant globalist, billionaires here, central bankers, philanthropists, NGOs, you name it, that have all been working together on this in pretty much every agenda. And as you know, you've covered so much. They run most of this under the guise of climate change. And so we have, back in 2014, the USDA created the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research. And then by 2019, they created Precision Indoor Plants Consortium, which is indoor growers, breeders, and genetics. There's a big genetics element to this. And then later that year, they formed the Sustainability Productive Growth Coalition at the United Nations Food System Summit. So that was a really important, significant one, because we've got Bayer and Bass and Bill Gates, all the usual players and characters in on this that are pushing this agenda forward fast and hard. So.
And so what's the end destination, Cory? What is the food supply going to look like if these people get their way once they're done with this?
So they want to replace traditional farming with these indoor vertical growing facilities. And these are mammoth, and they've been working at this for, I'd say several of them have been working at this pretty hard over the last 5 years, but AeroFarms, being one of the oldest ones, at least in the US, dates back to 2004. And AeroFarms themselves created they co-developed the first CRISPR-Cas9 gene-edited produce product. So what we have is, just to back this up a little bit, is we have in numerous states right now, we've already got these facilities. They're mega facilities for indoor growing that involves robotics and smart technology. And they have contracts with your major grocery chain stores, such as Walmarts and Kroger's and Safeways. And so they're saying they can produce this wonderful edible food indoors, protected from the climate, saving all this, money and energy and on water supply and whatnot. And in 1 to 14 days, they can bring it to harvest and bring it to your local grocery store. So Bowery Farming, just for perspective, their facility in Arlington, Texas, they state can serve 16 million people in a 200-mile radius. I mean, that's incredible. So you look at that and you go, well, wait a minute. So, and they state they want to replace traditional farming, that this is the way to go. And you've got Bayer and 100 other labs out in California working on gene edited seeds, because they want to produce these, faster and supposedly more nutritious. But that's a little concerning, given that they've already been working on edible vaccines through lettuce. So you have this control mechanism in place. Now you have these facilities where they are contracting with the grocery stores. They want to replace traditional farmers. And then you start rolling in the digital ID and access to these grocery chains. And you go, So how are we going to get access to this food? And how far are they going to take this with the seeds, such as what they've done in Africa, where they're protecting them, they're patent protected now. And then, you know, you can't trade, the local farmers can't be trading their own heirloom seeds. So it's very concerning. And then you look at what's going on in the other countries and see what's happening, you know, over in the Netherlands and other places. And it's a little alarming.
And so what happens to farmers as this transformation of the food supply takes place?
Well, we've already seen them blocking them from water, you know, blocking access, intentional from the fertilizer, putting stricter and stricter regulations on them. We see what's happening with some ranchers are selling their cattle because they can't afford to feed them right now. So I think they're targeting them through regulations and other means to try to demolish the farmers. I think we're still going to have some smaller farmers, and which I believe makes up the most of the U.S. as it is. But I think we're going to maintain some smaller farmers and homesteads for a while. But at what point are they going to start bringing more regulations in on that? You know, under the guise of, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, and we need to change this. And
it's all very frightening. And so so they're moving us toward a world where basically they'll move the small independent farmers off the land. They'll centralize all the control on these vertical farms with GMO crops and who knows, even putting literally vaccines in there. Talk a little bit more about that too, because you just kind of threw it out there in passing, and I've seen that, but I think a lot of people are thinking, what in the world? Vaccines through lettuce? Give me a break.
It's the University of California. I want to say it's Riverside. They've been working on developing vaccines in lettuce, but this isn't a new thing. They've been working at this for many, many years, and they actually started with potatoes years ago. So they talk about it, you know, in a fluffy way, how they do. And they say, wouldn't it be great? We'll have farmers be able to grow heads of lettuce that, you know, will be able to provide people with vaccines in an edible fashion. So as far as how far they're going to take that, I don't know, that's yet to be seen. But it is concerning because, you know, you go back to the 60s and the Rockefellers were talking about wanting edible vaccines. So hard to say where they're going to take that.
Yeah. So fast forward to the future. Let's get off of the farms and the food supply for a little bit. You know, you've looked at some of the psychological manipulation that's going on, the social emotional learning, what they're doing to our children in school. And how does all this fit together? What does the future look like if these people get their way?
Well, I think I know you've done excellent work, a ton of work on what's happening in the education system. And it's all part and parcel, in my opinion. It's just one grand plan to create digital citizens, obedient, that follow all their ideologies, to build this future workforce for them, whereby it's all controlled through, biometrics and digital IDs that control access and spending to your bank by means of a social credit score and a climate credit score. They were just talking about, I think it was at the WEF, one of their forums, they were talking about how they now have this new tracking device, you know, for climate, where we can each track our own travel and where we're going and how much emissions we're using and yada, yada. And that's all being used, weaponized against us. Essentially, everything is being weaponized against us. They want us all plugged in, eventually rolled into blockchain. We've got the smart cities going up. So it's this synthetic digital future whereby they want an obedient civilization where all their access and spending will be controlled. And I think a lot of people are really starting to wake up to that now, seeing just what's happening with inflation and the food situation.
Well, and how do we resist this, Corey? I mean, is there a way to resist this? Can we stop this?
I think there's a lot of things we can do on individual level. I think that, well, let's just take the vertical food facilities, for instance. Some of these places, like in Texas, for example, they're giving them I think it's the first 3 years, they're giving them, you know, major tax exemptions. So people in these local areas where they're seeing this happening need to communicate with their legislators and fight back against this and say, hey, we don't want this in our town. We don't want gene edited food here. I think on a lot of these different things with technology, people need to stop with the smart devices, the QR codes, the, you know, playing into all of this. And, you know, I just published a report on biometrics that the Sharp Edge wrote, and it's, we actually have more surveillance cameras per person than China does right now. So they have more, you know, cameras overall, but per person, the US has more. So I think people need to take a look at the technology they're using and cut way back on that. Stop going along with all of this. Gosh, there's so many different levels that, you know, of course, growing our own food's incredibly important right now. People need to be working on that for themselves, but also their neighbors and community. And so I think on a local level, I'm not so sure about the federal level, but I think on a local level, there's a lot of little things and little ways we can do to fight back. We've seen it before where, do you remember, I think it was last year where we're saying the IRS was going to, they wanted to give them access to our banks, and that we also were going to have to start, in order to log in, we were going to have to go through this new ID system that was going to require biometrics. People raise enough of a fight against that and speak out, and then they back down and they backtrack and they say, okay, no, we're not going to do that. So it's really, really important for people to keep the heat on in a lot of these different areas, because we have won some of those little battles along the way.
Very good. And so what big projects are you working on right now, Corey? Anything you can share with us? Anything to look forward to? And how do people find it?
So I am actually getting ready to launch a new series, and people will be able to access that through my site on coreysdigs.com, as well as the Solari Report. So I will be announcing that this week. So I'm working on getting all that finalized. And then I'm also working on digging into something that's pretty significant that has to do with the rulers themselves and specific immunities and whatnot. So that one's probably going to take me another week or two to hammer out.
Excellent. Very good, Corey. And before we let you go, how come you are appearing as an avatar rather than on camera?
So I've never been fond of the limelight. For me, this is all about the work and getting the information out to people. I want the focus to be on that. You know, I don't focus on the little politics of things. I focus on the big agendas against humanity. And I just don't feel that my face needs to be any part of that. It's all about the work, in my opinion. So
very good. Well, Corey, thank you for the great work that you're doing. Corey'sDigs.com, folks, check it out. Corey, again, we really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get you back very soon. Keep up the great work, and thanks again. All right, folks, I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thank you for tuning in. Go check out Corey's website. God willing, we shall have more content for you very soon. Till then, God bless you all.